5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. Glad you've joined us today. We got a great guest today, Doug.
We do. I'm real excited about it. But first, real quick, prayers go out to down to Miami. They had, I guess it was a walkway collapse,
yeah,
a bridge.
It's actually a bridge that was about to be finished,
yeah,
and it collapsed.
And there's,
already one death that I've heard of.
So so prayers go out to them, and just continue to pray for the people affected by that, as well as the people down in Parkland who still are struggling with the aftermath of the shooting. It's been a month, but people are still struggling down there. So continue to pray for them. But, yeah, I am excited. It's Thursday, March the 15th, 1 week away. Next Thursday night, we have the SWAT outreach. We have two auditoriums booked for Paul, Apostle of Christ. And we have on air with us today the screenwriter, director, Andrew Hyatt, not to be confused with country music singer Andrew Hyatt. Right, Andrew?
I don't moonlight as a country singer.
Because I saw,
I'll admit to that.
when I went in and initially looked online, I Googled and I was listening to an interview, and this guy broke out into song, and I'm going, wow, he can write and he can sing, you know? But anyway, we've got Andrew Hyatt. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on.
Well, I had the privilege of watching a sneak peek preview that you guys do and show different people around the country as you're preparing to release. And I just have to tell you, thank you for your creative effort. I know you would give credit to God, but you were faithful, because I know putting something like this together is not easy. And it was very well done, very well received here. So thank you, Andrew, for giving us this story of Paul, you know?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for saying that. And we are humbled. We do give all the glory to God, and we're just excited for people to see this film next week. We're just excited to see what the response is, how it helps people, and we're just excited. It's a week away. Thank goodness.
so you are a screenwriter / director. So tell our listeners, one, how does a movie like Paul, Apostle of Christ, move from an idea in the head of a screenwriter to the screen? How does that happen?
Sure. Well, you know, yeah, it definitely starts on the page. And I had, after making a movie called Full of Grace, which is also in the biblical genre, I just felt God put it on my heart that Paul was the next story that needed to be told. You know, it was quite shocking, actually, that, you know, For being as influential as he is, you know, arguably outside of Jesus Christ, you know, the most influential New Testament figure. And it was shocking that there had been no theatrical adaptations of his life. And so when it came to me, just felt that God saying, hey, tell this story. And basically, you know, for listeners not unfamiliar with the film industry, you know, yeah, goes into screenplay form. So, you know, it's all the dialogue and the action and visuals on the page first. And that goes through a number of drafts. We probably had, you know, 12 to 15 drafts of the screenplay. And then, you know, Sony got in touch with us, and they just happened to be looking for a Paul film for quite some time. And you know, God just put two and two together. And here we are with a beautiful film coming out.
Well, were you one of these guys that kind of knew you wanted to be in that industry in high school, and when you were trying to figure out what you wanted to do with life? Like, were you in theater, or how did you transition to do something like this? Could you ever imagine doing a movie like Paul?
No, and in fact, if I were in high school and you would have told me I'd be making Bible films, I probably would have started a fight with you, which is, I know, ironic, you know.
Well, yeah, we're in good company.
So no, it was never the plan, but God has better plans than we do. So I actually was an athlete. I played soccer from 3 years old all the way through college, and so that's how I ended up at Loyola Marymount, the university out in Los Angeles. Was actually I was through high school and everything, and I had loved films, but certainly I don't think I even knew it was a job. When I was younger, I don't think I knew you could actually make money and have a career and a life doing that. So it wasn't really an option. And, you know, I remember looking at schools and it was actually, I have to give credit to my mother. She was the one that said, you know, I think I was going to go to business school or something, you know, sort of in that realm, marketing perhaps. And she was the one that said, hey, you know, you have the passion for writing and you really love film. Why don't you try to go to a film school? What an encouragement, right? Usually it's the other way around. So, hey, get a job.
Don't go to film school. Don't be a screenwriter. That's what George Costanza does, right? I mean, come on. So anyway.
Exactly.
So you started doing this, and would you call yourself a follower of Jesus at this point in your life when your mom suggested it?
You know, I grew up in the church, and, you know, I did what a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people do, which is when I got to college, I just kind of looked at this. It was such a brand new world to me. You know, I grew up in the church. I went to Catholic elementary school, middle school. I went to a Jesuit high school. And then when I got to college, I looked around, and there was just this totally different perspective. I wasn't around believers. Suddenly, you know, people were drinking and partying and doing drugs, and I asked myself, you know, okay, well, what does this faith thing that I grew up with have to say about this? And unfortunately for me, and I think a lot of people, it didn't have anything to say. You know, it didn't feel relevant. I kind of brushed it off as, well, that's just something, you know, maybe when I'm older, I'll believe in that stuff. But that's just something my parents do. You know, that's not for me. And so I ended up walking away for about 8 years, 7 to 8 years. I walked away from my faith, and I just really put everything into career. I really wanted the Hollywood lifestyle. I wanted to be rich and famous. I wanted the house, the cars, the girls, you know, all of it.
You didn't fall for the trap, did you? Come on, really?
you know, all those things we think are so much better than this God thing, and yet, you know, so minuscule in the face of it. Mm. So, you know, that's why I just had no interest in biblical films. I had no interest in telling God stories at all. And I just went on this amazing journey where now looking back, I can see that God just never let me go, you know, always pursuing, always putting people in my path that would keep me, you know. It's almost like the bumpers on a bowling alley lane, you know, where okay, fine, you know, you're going to go down this path, but I'm going to make sure you don't ever go too far outside of my view. So I ended up working for this company called Empower Pictures. It was started by a guy named Steve McAvity, who was Mel Gibson's partner at Icon for about 30 years. So he produced Braveheart, Passion of the Christ, We Were Soldiers, you know, all these wonderful films.
Oh, they put out a bunch of good films, right? I mean, they were good. Now, were you there? Was Paul Lauer there with you then when you were working there?
You know, Paul's always around. You know, he's sort of the marketing guru with all these, things. So I know Paul. And you know, this was the first time, by the way, that I'd ever worked around other Christians in the industry. Steve McAvee is a deeply Catholic man. And there was another guy there, John Shepherd, who actually made movies for Billy Graham for 20 years. Mm. So it was, it was a wonderful combination. And it was the first time that I'd ever seen guys who weren't trying to stab each other in the back and compete. And they actually cared about each other and they loved each other and they were praying in meetings. It was the most bizarre thing, you know, having about 8 years at that point being really in a secular kind of Hollywood mindset.
You know,
and it was through them, you know. Go ahead.
No, Andrew, I was going to say, Doug and I were talking about this yesterday on the air. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you were saying that could you have imagined in high school being able to, you know, that you would write one day, you know, biblical stories that would be on the screen? And for Doug and I, we kind of think, could we have ever imagined that out of Hollywood we would be seeing films that proclaim
the gospel,
the glory of Christ?
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, and I mean, not just proclaim it, Andrew, but I mean, the movie was so well done. And unfortunately, there have been a lot of attempts, I believe, over the last few years that people have tried to make what I would call Christian movies or movies with a Christian theme, and they just kind of fall flat. They just, they have good efforts and intentions, but some of them I would not invite my friends to just because they're going to be bored out of their mind. And I don't think Jesus was boring at all.
And they're and they're not well done, I think, like this is.
Well, this was an amazing film, and kudos. You know, I want to get into the characters real quick of the movie, some of the people that you guys, James Faulkner, who plays Paul. I mean, I didn't really know James Faulkner by name. I knew him by face. I'd recognized him from some films and other acting things, but he did an amazing job as Paul. I was blown away by how well he played Paul. Was he even is he a believer or is he a follower of Jesus?
You know, James is kind of grew up in that very cultural Anglican, you know, being British, and he confesses to now, you know, this amazing journey that he's on, saying, you know, he came to this project open. He had an open mind. He wouldn't call himself a Christian or a believer, but he had an open mind, and he fell in love with the story, and he wanted this story to get out. And one of the early conversations that we had with each other was him saying, you know, I just want to be open to the transformation. You know, if Paul can speak through me, if I can bring this to life for millions of people that this is so important to, I want to be open to that. And I want to do that. And he's on an amazing journey now. I have to say, you know, his life's been changed, and he'll be the first to say that. If you hear interviews as he's going around talking about the film, you know, he'll say, my life has changed from this. And so it's exciting to be witness to that.
Yeah. And this is a guy from Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey. And I mean, he had to have read the Bible, right, to learn this part. I mean, didn't he have to go to the Bible to read about Paul, to know how to play Paul?
He did. He tried to absorb as much as he could. It was a really quick turnaround. You know, we stumbled on James, or the Lord put James in our path very late into the game. I think we were about 3 weeks out from shooting when he came on board. So it was a very quick turnaround. And one of the main things, you know, he was nervous early on. You know, it's taken on such a major role, such an influential role. And when we, though, got to the heart of it, and we just said, you know, just James, like, be yourself, be open to the humanity of this man. And that's what helped him get into the character, instead of, you know, I think there's a tendency, and maybe why some of these Bible films don't work, to make everything so preachy. You know, everything is so, oh, look at us, we're amazing people, and let me deliver this, and here's this, and they just become inauthentic. And so
you mean superficial? Is that the word you're looking for?
Superficial's a good one. That's
hey,
right.
Andrew,
that's
let right. me ask so, you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, please.
I was going to say, you know, as a person, Doug and I have been studying the Word, studying the Bible for years, teaching it for years, and there's so many great characters in the Scriptures. You know, why Paul? What prompted you to tell this particular story? In fact, Doug and I are teaching at another Bible study that we do, and we're actually teaching through the book of Acts, which really is what this story is about. So why Paul?
Beautiful. Paul, well, you know, he's so important to my own story, you know, coming back to the faith. You know, I had a major reconversion back after 8 years. It was very much a Damascus Road type of experience. And so since that moment, Paul's story has been so close to me and has encouraged me and inspired me, because, you know, you look at a guy like Paul, you know, I think we all struggle with this at times, even inside the church, with, you know, does God truly, truly love me, you know, unconditionally, or, you know, can he really, really, really look at me in all my mess and love me? And you look at Paul's story and you say, absolutely. Look at this guy. Look at who Saul was and what he was doing. And then for God to look down on that guy and say, I want him. And then we all know the story now, you know, 30 years of basically changing the face of Western civilization, you know, the greatest evangelizer the world's ever seen. So it's always been on my heart, because it's so close to my own story. And I'm very humbled that God said, you know, go for it. Tell Paul's story to the world.
Well, I know if you do interviews and you're a producer or you're a screenwriter, everybody always brings you ideas, right? Hey, I got an idea for your next great movie. All right, right. I mean, when you see a movie like this, people probably want you to do one about this person or that one. But on the lines of a Paul, how about a Matthew too? You know, Levi. Paul and Levi, to me, are the two greatest conversions in the New Testament. You know, you got guys who were so hated by the people around the Christian community, you know, the people that would call themselves religious. And that's one reason. I mean, for you particularly, Andrew, what stood out to you most? Because I know, I'm sure you read lots of books and read the scriptures about Paul to really get into his life. What stood out to you most about Paul's life when you think about him?
I think that for me, the most impactful thing, and you're totally right, tons of books and tons of prayer and scripture, of course, as you guys both know, you know, there's no way to do this without prayerfully just being in the Word. And, you know, one of the things that was really profound to me, though, it actually came later after I wrote the screenplay, and we were on set shooting the movie that's finally sunk in, was this idea that, you know, sometimes I think we have a tendency to think of these, especially Paul writing these letters and preaching and doing these amazing things. Sometimes, at least in my mind, I have this vision of him sitting in a beautiful kind of lake house, you know, writing these beautiful theological, you know, treatises and thinking these things out. And then it's so impactful and profound to think, no, this guy was living it. He was there. He was there in Rome, first century Rome, watching people be killed for their faith.
In a nasty prison.
in a terrible prison, you know, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, you know, and yet to be able to still say these wonderful truths and to hold on to this, that really moved me this time around, because I'd never really thought about the context in which these words were being written and which these actions were being done. You know, this wasn't a time, you know, where you could just go to church on Sunday, walk with your Bible and wave hello to everyone. This is a time where, you know, they were in hiding, you know, these first century Christians. They were being persecuted, murdered. And so that really moved me this time, is to really look at Paul's life. And if Paul can say what he said under the circumstances, then I think we should all look at his words and say, wow, okay, for me, for my life, this is profound and I can be doing more here.
Well, I mean, God has certainly blessed you in connecting you with movies and things that you've been a part of. I saw another movie you had a hand in, and I'm not sure how big a role you had, but it was called the Stoning of, and I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. Is it Soraya?
Soraya, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
That was a very powerful movie. Did you write that one as well?
I didn't write that. No. I was an executive on that. That was, again, through this wonderful company, Empower Pictures, and John Shepherd and Steve McAvity. And that was something that landed on our desk, already written, ready to go. Cyrus Narasta, a wonderful director, was a part of that. And it was really one of those where we all looked at it, and it was probably within an hour, everybody said, this is a film that has to get made. We got to make this.
Well, what was impactful to me about that particular film was the stoning, because, you know, you read about stoning in the Bible, and we don't have stonings in our culture, so nobody knows what that looks like. And it was just a graphic portrayal. And really, now I can't read about a stoning without thinking of the scenes from that movie. And in the same way, when you've got Paul and some of the scenes, and I don't want to give too much away, because I want people to go see it. It comes out on March 23rd is the release date, and it's going to be at several places. And just a quick word to listeners. You know, the biggest weekend for you to go is the first weekend, because we want to get a message out. When you get this kind of quality movie with this kind of message, we want to support it. Tell your friends about it. Tell them the first weekend is a big weekend to go. So go. We've already sold out March 22nd, the two preview. We're doing a preview next Thursday, and we're sold out on the two biggest auditoriums. So get the word out for March 23rd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All 3 days, get people to go see this movie, because Andrew and these actors bring out things in this movie about Paul that I've been reading the Bible for a long time. I've never considered. And I was sharing with Andrew before the program today, you know, as many times as I've read about Paul's life, I never considered some of the haunting thoughts he may have. that they bring out.
Well, Andrew, I think that's the uniqueness of film, is that you're able to really shed light on things that really the mind can't even comprehend till it sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. That's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that humanity element that we so often forget about, that these were men and women just like us, you know, and that's the incredible thing and the encouraging thing, that they had their own flaws and doubts and fears, and they were just like us. And sometimes we tend to put them, you know, we look at them as the beautiful statues, right, that surround the church with the halos already. And we say, wow, I don't think I could ever be like Paul. I don't think I could ever be like Luke. There's no way. Look at, they're amazing people. But that's not true. They were just like us, and they fell in love with Jesus Christ, and they gave everything for it. And we can all do that.
Well, you're right. And we've been talking about this over the last couple of days since the passing of Billy Graham. So many people look at a guy like Billy Graham and go, man, I could never be like that. Well, God's not asking you to be like that. God's asking you to use the gifts and talents he's given you to proclaim the good news of Christ. And I'm, you know, Andrew, I'm so grateful for guys like you who are willing to take not only the education you've got, but the passion that you have and put it into a work like this. And I don't know if you ever read the book, Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller. Tim Keller does a great job of talking about the arts and the creative people that are out there who have been given a gift. They've been given a talent and a skill. And God wants us to put those things to use in whatever way possible.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, yeah. Well, Andrew, real quick, how long did it take you to film the movie?
We were in Malta for a couple months, but the actual production was only 24 days, which is it's a really short film timeline. So,
that's very short.
You know. Yeah, and so we're just grateful, and that God was clearly with us. You know, there are days that we shouldn't hit our days, and we did. And there are amazing, you know, kind of miracles of the weather holding out and all sorts of things that we had to have happen. Everything had to fall in place. So we're grateful for that.
Well, when you compare making a film like this as a believer, you're out in a world where there, you know, the one thing that I've encountered when I meet people from that part of the world that you're in is, you know, everybody's out there wanting to be seen. My wife and I were talking about it, looking at the red carpet a few weeks ago when they did the awards. You know, there people are seeking. It is an incredibly rich place to be able to be a witness for Christ. How difficult is it for you in that arena as a believer who is in such a, what I would call a materialistic world out there, to be a witness on a regular basis without being a, you know, a preachy, knock them over the head kind of guy,
right?
You know?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I get it a lot. And I'll tell you this: there's a lot of belief that Hollywood is very anti-Christian, and it's not true. Hollywood is pro money and pro self, and just as you said, everybody is seeking, and most people are unhappy and they haven't found truth. And so it's just like you said, it's a very rich environment. And the truth is, when you come in with a belief, with a point of view, with a confidence that you believe in the truth, I'll tell you what, people are very open and they're very receptive, and they're a little confused. You know, it's sort of like I think of kind of all the great, you know, preachers of just how, like, what's different about you? Why are you happy? Why are you, you know, why are you after these different things? Why aren't you? And to be able to say, well, it's because of Christ, that's all, you know, that's the only thing. I'd say that people are very open. So I'd love to remove that myth and encourage more believers to be supportive and to be praying for Hollywood and to not feel that this is us against them. It's just, as you said, everybody's seeking truth, and most people haven't found it.
Well, I was going to say, it could be Wall Street, Main Street, or, you know, Rodeo Drive. It doesn't matter. Everybody's looking
to be
filled with something to satisfy them, and yet, you know, we know we're not satisfied till we have Christ.
Well, Andrew has has two children, two daughters, and one on the way. Do you know what the one on the way is, Andrew? Yet?
We don't know. We'll know in a couple weeks here. So prayers would be appreciated for health and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I think we only have you for a half hour, right? I mean, if I remember right.
It's up to you guys. I'm here, so
I mean, I don't want to push you, but we would love to keep you. We have a half hour break at 3:30, and if you would let us, we'll keep you on longer to talk about the film. But I want to respect your time too, because I know you're doing stuff. So we'll leave it up to you. We got about 2 minutes to the break, so can we keep you for more, or do you need to run?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm free this afternoon, so that's perfect. I would love to keep chatting with you guys. I'm just I'm so grateful for all you do in your community as well.
Well, that's awesome, because I have some more questions for you related to specifics on the film with the people, like the development of the characters and why you chose them. And we're going to come back after the break. We're talking to Andrew Hyatt, who is the screenwriter and director for Paul the Apostle of Christ. It comes out March 23rd, theaters across the country. And we are doing a sneak peek on March 22nd as an outreach for SWAT. Now, Andrew, you know, you made a statement earlier about practical and relevant. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. When I think of Paul, he was a warrior. When I think of the disciples, they were warriors, but they were spiritual warriors. They did not take up physical arms. They took up spiritual arms. They were men of prayer and men who loved people that persecuted them. And that's one thing you bring out so strongly in the movie that I'm very grateful for, because we live in a culture right now that's economically, politically, and socially divided, and a lot of hatred being spewed. So thank you for bringing that aspect of his life out.
I think that do we really believe that prayer changes the world? And at times, I don't know that we do. And what always struck me about these men and women, as you say, is they were prayer warriors and they were spiritual warriors. And they never once took up arms. And look what they did. They changed the face of the world. So it's a real encouragement to us to think about that.
Well, I mean, again, if you're listening to this and you have not made plans to go see this movie, it comes out Friday of next week, and it is something that you could invite anybody to, even if they don't. You know what? Tell people, you know, Easter, we're celebrating Easter in a couple of weeks, and you could tell people, hey, it's Easter, and there's a movie about a guy that killed Christians. He hated Christians, and he had this encounter that changed him. And it really is about love conquering all. So it would be a great opportunity. And we're going to come back from the break. We're talking with Andrew Hyatt, the director, screenwriter for Paul, the Apostle of Christ. And we're on SWAT Radio. You're listening to us on 91.7 in Jacksonville, 91.9 in St. Augustine, and 91.3 in Folkestone, Georgia. And live off www.swatradio.com. We'll be back after the news break with Andrew Hyatt and more about Paul, the Apostle of Christ, which comes out next Friday.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary, our special guest, Andrew Hyatt. By the way, Doug, I was just reading in Andrew's bio, and I love this, Andrew. It says, Hyatt's passion is the creation of content that is deeply personal, seeking to tell stories that delve deeper into the drama of the human condition. Mm. Man, that is a great description of what I believe, you know, is there anything more deep than our own condition? You know, what the Bible said, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it?
Mm. Yeah. And you get to figure that out when you have little kids, don't you, Andrew? Are you there? Hello? Uh-oh. Maybe he had to go.
Andrew, are you there?
Okay.
All right.
Well, hopefully Andrew will be back on with us. We have Andrew Hyatt somewhere in between the West Coast and the East Coast. There was a severing of the line.
Well, I was going to say, he said he would stay with us, but
maybe daddy duty's called. I don't know, man. Maybe something happened.
Well, what a treat it is, Doug, to just, you know, I'm so encouraged. I'm so excited about people who are going to go to the theaters and see this film.
Yeah. I really wish you were out of town. You could have seen It is so well done. And one of the things that I want him to talk about, if we can get him back on the line, is the aspect of the historical component of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for a lot of us, when we read the Bible, we read it kind of sterile. You know, we read it in a sense, we hear about prison, but we don't have a visualization. Mm-hmm. When we think of a penitentiary, something like we might see on the side of a road, it was a very different system then, where the Roman leaders would bring people in and out. And so I hope we can get him back, because I want him to speak to, if they went to the Mamertine prison in Rome and actually saw, you know, you can go over mm-hmm. there. They still got the ruins of that over there. And so hopefully he can speak to that. But it's so great that you can take people to something like this that, you know, a lot of times some of these Christian films you take people into that maybe don't go to church or don't have a church background, and they're kind of lost mm-hmm. as they follow it, or they're just kind of like, this isn't very relevant, like he was saying. But when he did this, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, a follower or not a follower. It grips you because of the story. What's there?
Well, so, I want to encourage our listeners just to kind of build up to it. They can go to paulmovie.com, and right there on that website, you can watch the trailer. Which, of course, if you watch the trailer, you'll be wanting to watch it immediately. So I'm excited. I think Andrew is back with us. Andrew, are you with us?
I am with you.
I was thinking that I spoke too soon. I was so excited you were going to join us for the half hour, and then I'm sitting there going, okay, maybe he had to go. So technology is good sometimes, and sometimes it's bad. But thanks for coming back. Well, I mean, you made me and Brad look a whole lot better by coming back. Because we're sitting here stumbling through this, man, trying to figure out. I'm trying to talk about the Mamertine prison, and I guess you – did you go there to do your research about this? Did you actually go to Rome and see that over there?
You know, it's a wonderful – there's not much there, but you can absolutely go to Rome, go into the Mamertine prison where Paul was, and you know, I'm sure if you bribe somebody, you'd be able to sit in there by yourself for a few hours. But
not that I would want to.
It was one of those things where we knew that we had to shoot in Malta very early on in the process. It was just a lot of different practicality reasons of budget and where we could find crew and all this stuff. So, you know, because Rome, shooting in Italy was never an option, you know, I sat with the production designer, Dave Arrowsmith, who, amazing production designer, by the way, you'll see when you see the film, just what he was able to create for us. And, you know, we looked at the pictures and we kind of, you know, Dave even went there and he even measured out the room so that we could really kind of get a sense of how claustrophobic and he tried to bring that to life as closely as possible. There were a few elements that he wasn't able to achieve just because of safety reasons and having to, you know, architecturally build a safe set. But I would say it's a very, very close representation to where Paul actually was.
Well, it's an amazing presentation of the prison scenes when he's in there. But one of the things that you bring out in the movie that I like, again, the human element, you know, when we think of prisons, we think of our penal system here because we don't really have any other things to think about. But you take us back And it was kind of very different back then, where sometimes the Roman heads of the prisons would interact with people and they would bring them out almost like having a friendly conversation, something that you probably wouldn't see too much of here between a warden and guys who were on death row. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And that's right. Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Well, I was just wondering, as you develop those characters, like, I think it was it Mauritius? Is that how you pronounce it?
Mauritius, the Roman prefect, yes.
Yeah, Mauritius. I was wondering in the movie, you know, how you was he a compilation of people maybe from the Bible, or was he any particular person that struck you from, you know, like you read about Festus or Felix, or, you know, how did you come up with that character?
He's absolutely a compilation of all of those encounters. If you think of Paul in prison, you know, speaking with, you know, I think of especially, you know, a biblical, you know, moment with the earthquake in Philippi, and, you know, and staying in the jail cell, even though he could have escaped, and for that to move the Roman in charge, because, you know, if you know about the Roman penal system, as you say, basically it was that the guards of the prison, if you were in charge of a prison, or if you were in charge of prisoners, if those prisoners escaped, you forfeited your own life. So this was the can you imagine the strange, stressful duress that these guards would have been under, knowing that if there's any escapes, then they would be killed. So and you think of the shipwreck too, that Paul, you know, Paul telling the other sailors on the ship, you know, stay with the ship, you know, nobody will survive if we don't all stick together, when they shipwreck on Malta, of all places. So really, Mauritius was looking at scripture and just kind of, you know, we needed a character that Paul could interact with, you know, a villain, if you will, that that kind of fit into the landscape. And it was so easy to look at scripture and say, okay, look, Paul numerous times is running into these Romans, and they're watching him. They're asking questions. They're shocked by his behavior, by his preaching, and you know, many of them do convert. Some we don't know what happened, but yeah, it really was an attempt to try and combine all of those so that we could have a real look into, you know, what would it have been like for a Roman to encounter Paul? You know, what would it have been like for their faith? You know, their pagan faith, to encounter this new Christianity, this Jesus fellow who, what the heck is that? Are these people talking about, you know, why are they taking care of people? You know, we're talking about a culture that didn't give, you know, two sheets about, you know, their widows and orphans. You know, you died on the street if you couldn't afford to buy bread. And to have this group suddenly come in, you know, to their city, and they're taking care of people, and they're clothing people, and they're loving people, you know, what a strange culture clash. So we really wanted to capture that, and I think it's great. I think, you know, we talked about it earlier about how you can bring someone who's not a believer to the film and say that, you know, Mauritius is a character that asks all the questions, doesn't he? He says what every non-believer wants to say. And there's never a moment in the film that I feel, at least, that Paul gives him some sort of, you know, let's call it a Christianese answer, right?
That's exactly right. No, that's good. He doesn't. Yeah. He's honest with him. And he never, you know, the thing about Paul is he doesn't dilute the truth of Jesus, but he doesn't just give him some pat superficial thing either. You're right. And that was really, to me, refreshing. And I think that's part of the issue that we struggle with in our country. You know, Brad and I talk about this all the time. One of my good friends is a guy who was a persecuted pastor in another country. He spent 18 months in prison, and he was beaten every day, Andrew. And he was told, if you deny Jesus, you can walk out of here. And he wouldn't do it.
Wow.
And so when I saw this, I saw it through his eyes, thinking about him a lot as I watched this movie. And one of the things that you bring out so effectively is that in our country, Christianity really has no cost. But in that culture, there was a definite cost to following Jesus. And it really makes a difference, doesn't it?
it makes a huge difference. And you know, one of the things that I really wanted to get across in this film, and I don't know that I could have made this film otherwise without really taking this into account. I wanted this to be a film that I hope every Christian in America sees the movie, and I hope it helps and encourages. But you know, we have brothers and sisters that are around the world, literally today, not years ago, not yesterday, literally today, that are being killed for their faith. Mm-hmm. They're being persecuted for their faith. And if I'm going to make a movie about Paul and I'm going to throw something up there on the screen, if that movie doesn't ring true to those individuals, mm-hmm. then I've completely failed. I completely failed at trying to capture, as you say, you know, the truth of the reality of the cost of following Jesus Christ. And we are blessed in America because we don't have to worry about that. But this is really never, you know, it's unprecedented, really. It's never been the case. You know, our faith was born out of persecution. You know, our faith, mm-hmm. you know, the you know, it was years, hundreds of years later before, you know, there was a way to worship in safety, if you will. You know, it didn't come until Constantine came around. And so I just didn't want to falsify that and just kind of, I think you're totally right. We do that in America. I think we do it on Sundays. I think we do it in our sermons. I think we do it in our Christian films. We vanilla it. We make it so soft that it doesn't ring true to what really happened and what these people are really fighting for. And the best part about it is, you say, well, I don't want to think about that stuff. You know, that I don't want to think about the gore and the graphic. But this is the point. You know, this is the whole point of Jesus Christ coming into the world and saving us from ourselves. And it's messy and it's gritty and it's raw and it's human. And I don't like that we shy away from that and we don't want to think about those things, because this is our faith. This is the truth.
Amen to that. I mean, Andrew, you're absolutely right. Doug, you and I talk a lot about the fact that as we proclaim the Word of God, as we share Christ with people, and we engage in the lives of people, life is messy. It's bloody. It's muddy. And I, Andrew, I haven't seen the film, so I've seen the trailer and I've read a lot about it because I wasn't there for the screening. But I'm glad that you did not water this down. That, as you just said, you wanted to give a picture of what not only Paul experienced, but what people around the world are experiencing today.
Well, he did such a good job. And Andrew, there's a scene in there that it made me think of my friend. My friend has scars on his back from being beaten. And I can't almost talk about it because it upsets me to think about. But when you did that, you did a scene in that movie where Paul is being disciplined, you know, I mean, he's being beaten, but and it was so it was powerful. It was very powerful because it just he you know, when you think about the fact that Paul went to Rome, he wanted to go to Rome because he cared so much about the people that he wanted them to know the gospel. And when I saw him taking that beating and just enduring that because of the love that he had for Christ, it was powerful. I mean, but I appreciate the way you did it. It wasn't graphic. And so I do want to tell our listeners, you know, some people couldn't see the passion of the Christ because it was so graphic for them. And some, I love that movie. I personally, I watch that movie at least once a year, just because it reminds me of the what Christ went through.
Paid.
At least some element. I don't think even that could do real justice to what he went through. But thank you for doing it in a tasteful way, but yet bringing out the cost that was involved. And I know that you had to put a lot of prayer and a lot of dialogue and discussion into that. Could you talk a little bit about some of the what I would call the directorial decisions about what you included and what you didn't? Like, you brought out two characters that I didn't expect to see in it, and Priscilla and Aquila. You know, you really gave us an insight into these characters. You know, what brought them into the moment there, so to speak?
Yeah, it's a great, thank you for bringing that up, because I do want to address that, and I think it's important. As much as the movie is about Paul, it really is also about the first century Christian community in Rome and what was happening there. It's a major storyline throughout the film. And really that came just again from just the study of scripture. I just kept noticing, you know, these beautiful little moments, you know, in Paul's letters, where he's mentioning, you know, the people that are so supportive of him. And then you kind of go back through Acts and you say, wow, he writes a lot of his letters. You know, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila, you know, the good work they're doing. Okay, let me go back to Acts. Okay, Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, they're really close to Paul. They're like his best buds. Okay. And then it just starts to build this beautiful palette and this beautiful picture. And one of the best things I will say about Priscilla and Aquila in the film, and what I was really excited about bringing, is I don't know that we've ever seen a strong Christian marriage within a Bible film. Mm. I don't know that we've ever seen that. And to bring this amazing couple to life that are working together, that are praying together, that are living and loving the community together, I thought, wow, that is a really going to be a powerful example, hopefully, to married couples of how do you do this thing, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of pastors and pastors' wives will be able to identify with that. But all of us, even not, you know, just being married and being Christians, how do we work a life together where we're both committed to this Jesus thing?
Especially in the midst of that.
Yeah. In the midst.
That's right. That's right.
And they don't always agree. I love the fact that you brought that out in the movie. You know?
Yeah. Well, hey, Doug, you and Lori always agree, don't
nope,
you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Careful, boys.
Yeah,
careful,
boys. Hey, Andrew, Brad has been married 33 years.
33.
And Lori and I, we're working on 34. So, I mean, I took my wife to the screening, and we both came back so moved. We loved it, and we loved the fact that you made this couple real. And that's it speaks again to what you were saying. But what I loved what you did with them is it wasn't just them. It was Luke. And, you know, a lot of times when you get a guy like Jim Caviezel, the whole movie seems to be based around a personality like that. But it was much more what I would call the community,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Luke
That's right.
was just part of the community. And he had a role to play. And I think that so often in our culture, especially here in America, that you don't see it as much in third world countries, the community aspect has been lost. And and this is a good film, people. If you're listening and you're a pastor or you're a leader, take your people to see this. If you want to see a depiction of a community who goes through difficult times, who prays together, who talks about things and works through issues that they don't always agree on, it is a great picture of that. And I you bring out a lot of things in this movie that I call the human element of the Bible that we don't think about sometimes.
Well, and Doug, Andrew, I wanted to just touch on something that is on your website, by the way. If you're listening, go to paulmovie.com. You can watch the trailer. One of the things that he wrote in this copy is alone in the dark, speaking of Paul, he wonders if he has been forgotten. And what, you know, Doug, you and I were just talking about this as we were looking at John, John the Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, he writes this letter to Jesus at the end of his life to say, you know, with some doubt
mm-hmm.
As to whether or not Jesus, are you the one? And yet Paul here in prison, you know, is certainly struggling with that because he's human.
Well, yeah, and you bring that out in the movie. And I appreciate it. You just didn't make Paul this hero that just had everything together.
Right.
He wrestled, you know?
Yep. And it's, you know, the best thing about it is it's, you know, you read his letters and it's all there. You know, he never, you know, of all people, Paul never hides the fact that he's struggling, that he's wrestling, that he's still sinning. You know, why do I still do the things that I hate? You know, he's, you know, we can all agree with that. And what was great is it was so easy then to bring out this humanity because it was all there in his letters. He's a very vulnerable, open person when you really dig into his letters. And you know, he's always quick to share what he's feeling. Sometimes, you know, when he's too depressed, you know, he's very clear about that, you know, about, hey, I'm here. I'm by myself. I'm lonely. Like, where is everybody gone? You know, these are very kind of human, vulnerable things. And so, you know, bringing out, you know, Paul at the end of his life, it just felt so natural, you know, and especially even when you read 2 Timothy, you know, which was the last letter that he wrote from the Mamertine prison. There's still this, you know, not only incredible love for people and for Christ, but also incredible vulnerabilities, you know, getting angry at people still, you know, getting sad that he couldn't do this. He couldn't go here. He couldn't speak to these people. And so it was just, it was a wonderful moment to be able to say, okay, here's a man who for 30 some odd years has been devoting everything to Jesus. He's left it all on the playing field, you know, the proverbial playing field. And yet now he's stuck in this prison, and it just felt so natural to have him be saying, well, wait, is this it? Is this really, this is how it's going to end? I have more in me. Let's keep going, God. I can talk to more people.
Well, Andrew, one of the things we want to do as listeners and people who appreciate what you do is we want to support you. So getting people out this weekend, was I right about that? Because I'm just basing that on things I've heard. Is that correct? The first weekend a movie comes out, isn't that a big weekend for kind of gauging?
It means everything. Yeah, it means everything. Because as I said, I think we touched on earlier, you know, again, Hollywood is not anti-Christian. They're pro-money. And if they see a big box office, they'll continue to make these films. And if they don't see a big box office, they'll say, well, clearly nobody's interested. We'll tell different stories. And so that opening weekend really is important. And not only proves to the studio that there are millions of us out there, as we know there are, who want this kind of content, who love Paul, who know Paul, and are excited to see this film. And it also will then, you know, if it has a great opening weekend, then the studio says, well, you know what, let's increase the theaters. Let's take it from, I believe it's in, you know, it's coming out in 1,300 theaters, I believe, next opening weekend. You know, they could say, hey, let's make this as wide as Black Panther. Let's put it in 3,000 screens for Easter weekend. And I think the more that we can prove that we're hungry for this content done in an excellent way, and I appreciate you guys continuing to push that this really is hopefully an artistic and very human and authentic representation of our faith. But the opening weekend really is everything. So please go see it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my concern initially was when I saw, I was afraid that it was going to either be one end of the extreme where it's like we talked about earlier, or the other end, it's not biblical. And what you guys do is you marry up biblical content with creative liberty to kind of fill in some gaps. And listen, this is not the Bible. This is a artistic depiction, kind of like a historical novel. Mm-hmm. You bring out the truth of Scripture very well. Lots of biblical quotes, you know, in there, but in the biblical story, true to form. But you also just give some creativity to what might happen. And so I want to encourage our listeners this weekend and next weekend, really push this on your social media, on Twitter, on your Instagram. Go share the trailers. Get it out there. Talk about it. It's Easter. Tie it in with Easter. And it's a great thing to invite people. And,
you know, Doug, real quick, I want to just mention this. So, Andrew, Doug and I have been teaching out of Colossians chapter 4. And in specifically for our listeners out there, you know, verse 3 says, Paul is saying, pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open us a door for the word. And it's really what I see about this film. Here's an opportunity. Here's an open door for you to invite your neighbors, invite your family members, invite your coworkers to come see this film. It's an open door for the advancement of truth.
And that is Paul, the Apostle of Christ. It premieres March 23rd. And we are hoping, and you know what, Andrew, we're going to pray for 3,000 theaters. That's what we're going to pray, that God would just blow the socks off next weekend and take this message that would give believers all over the world a conversation starter to talk about Amen. Jesus Christ. So,
amen. 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 And to encourage your listeners even more, we're also coming out in 31 other countries. So it really is a worldwide getting the gospel out. So we're excited about that.
Well, hey, Andrew, we have about 45 seconds left. I want to just thank you for joining us today. I want to close by praying for you in this film. Can I do that?
Please.
All right. Thank you, and best of luck to you, Lord. I just thank you for Andrew. I thank you for the creativity of all the people involved. I pray your favor and your blessing on this film. I pray you would take it from 1,300 theaters to 3,000, and many people would hear about Jesus through this film being a conversation starter. I pray for Andrew's wife and the baby she carries, that you would bless that baby. You would raise up his kids to love Jesus as much as he does. And Lord, we continue to pray for James Faulkner, that you would bring him to your kingdom. Amen. Have a great, great day. And we'll be back tomorrow on SWAT Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you guys.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.